Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Happy 2024. Tonight, we're going to hear from Joran Messer of Dire about his latest EP. Let's jump right in.
Well, Joran Messer, where in the world are you? Are you still in South Georgia?
I am. I'm still in old Quitman, Georgia.
And are you still cutting meat?
I am. Yep. I did earlier today. I'm cutting meat full time, working for Between the Piggly Wiggly stores in Adel and Valdosta.
Oh, you work for the Pigwig. Nice.
Yep.
Awesome. We were talking about the time. I thought, you know, I didn't even check to make sure he still was living in South Georgia. Last time we talked, you said something about maybe moving, but are we just staying put?
for right now, at least. I've got my family basically here. My grandma actually passed away a couple months ago, but my grandfather's, you know, lives really close to us, and I kind of want to stay close by for him.
That's good. But, that's a good idea. I'm sorry about your loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough losing folks.
Yeah.
And it'll be good that you're there to help out.
Yeah, I've been trying to spend as much time as I can over there and stuff, just stop by after work and hang out and stuff with them.
Good, good. We're here because you've dropped a new EP,
yes.
And I want to hear everything. I want to hear all about it. So I don't know where to begin. Well, I'll let you tell us the name of the EP and come and give us a little intro to it.
The name of the EP is Crush the Head, which is, it's obviously inspired by, you know, the verse in Genesis, I believe, where it talks about the fall and everything, and the serpent deceives Eve and everything. God says, I'll put enmity between you and her offspring. And, you know, it's talking about that situation, but it's also, I believe, interpretable as like foreshadowing of Christ and his, you know, victory over Satan. And I kind of use it in that sense as far as just, you know, Christ crushing the head of the serpent. And I just thought it sounded metal and it's true. And I just was like, hey, that'd be a really cool name. And then I was also trying to think of stuff that would make good album art. And we work with, I know him as like his Instagram handle. So I think his name is Jeremy, but it's like Jay Stout illustration. But he delivered like a super, super awesome metal looking album art that was like, to me, it fits perfect with like the vibe of stuff that I like and the sound of the CD and the concept. So. That was awesome.
I was hoping you were going to bring that up because that was one of the things I noticed was that the illustration, the album art, was spectacular. And it also kind of vibes with your earlier art, too.
Yeah, yeah. I try to kind of stay consistent throughout all except our first EP, which we don't talk about. But Volume 1 and, you know, Depths, and then Volume 2 and then this one, they've all kind of got the very similar motif throughout all of them. So I'm trying to stay with that.
Are they tied into each other in any way? Or
yeah, that's what I was going to say. The EPs, I mean, not other than just the style that they're presented in. Technically, the album art for Volume 1 is actually on the backside of the booklet, but it's kind of still done in the same gray and black, and then there's white. And it's kind of, that album art is like basically the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And then the fourth, you know, the fourth man is done in white. And then the Volume 2 is the Saram caught in the thorns, and his eyes are white. The idea is to make the aspect that is representative of Christ, the white part, the only white part of the art. You know what I mean? I'm sure people don't look at that and read that into it. But for me, that's kind of why I've stuck with that. And on the actual, you know, the Volume 1, Volume 2, and then whatever we do for Volume 3, it'll probably, you know, I'm hoping I can keep not running out of ideas that where that works.
Well, is this EP a concept, or is this just songs that have come to you that you've put together?
Yeah, it's just songs that have come to me that I put together. I think they're kind of, you know, they're related, but I wouldn't say it's like a concept album necessarily. Just kind of stuff that I wrote. And I've kind of been writing for this and for, you know, a subsequent record, and trying to like, you know, for every song that I write for the record, I want to write one that I can release before it. So there's not as huge of a gap between releases as there has been in the past. So,
I just jumped right in, like everybody knows who you are. So maybe we should back up. We did do an interview before and talked a lot about this, but tell the new people, who is Dire and why is Dire?
Dire is just a heavy metal band, I would say, from located in South Georgia, fronted by me. Like, I am basically like 90% of the band, honestly. In that, you know, over the years and stuff, It's had like multiple members. Right now it's pretty much me and Caleb Barnes. He's playing drums. We played a show in Valdosta. It was the first show we played in a while. And okay. I mean, for me, it's just one, it's an outlet, obviously, for, you know, just creativity and the things that I'm thinking or whatever. But I want it to be something for, I think we talked maybe in the last interview about like me, I really like the Supertones. That was one of the bands that I, you know, that got me into music and first opened my eyes to like, wow, music can be more than just, you know, I don't want to say empty, like, but a lot of shallower, simpler music that I'd heard growing up or whatever, where it didn't really resonate. It wasn't very deep. And then you hear this music, like a lot of rock and stuff, where it's talking about stuff that felt a lot more real to me and resonated with me. And then, you know, there's a lot of Christian bands, come to find out, that write stuff that's really encouraging for me as a believer and in my faith. And I wanted to do something like that for other people, basically write music that's not just me venting all my anger and frustrations and stuff like that, but it kind of has a focus that is bigger than that and where people can take it and build with it, hopefully. So,
yeah. So you went from listening to ska to writing metal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I remember you talking about the Supertones. That was pretty cool. But they apparently really inspired you.
Yeah, really. And it's weird because, I mean, like, honestly, this sounds stupid, but to me that also was like heavy back then because I didn't know what metal was. You know, I was mm-hmm. a kid. I don't know how old I was, but I was pretty young. And I probably had literally never heard anything that would be considered heavy metal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had still, you know, ska. And I think the record that it was Loud and Clear, which has a lot. It's got a heavier kind of punkish vibe to it. It's very guitar driven and stuff. So it felt heavy to me. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is so, you know. I thought it was really intense and stuff, which I still like it. It's still a good record, but it's definitely not metal. But
yeah, well, we like the way it has seasoned your metal. And something else that people may not know, that you also worked with Jeremiah Scott from Demon Hunter. Did he chime in on this one, or is this one someone else's influence?
We worked with him on Volume 1 a little bit. Done with Lee. Lee Dias at Earth Sound in Valdosta, which is very close to here. And then we did the Depths EP, and then Volume 2 also with Lee. And then this one, believe it or not, it is all me, because as everyone knows, the economy it ain't economying real good right now. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much don't have money to spend on recording and stuff at the moment. And I really hated to, you know, I was still writing these songs and, you know, just tracking really rough stuff on my phone and whatever. And I was like, dude, I don't know when I'm going to be able to record these. And I hate for it to be such a long time. So I actually, I think I said this maybe once on Instagram or something, but I recorded this EP and mixed it and mastered it in GarageBand.
Cool.
Which, like a free, if anyone doesn't know what it is, it's just like a free music workspace that comes on like Apple products. If you have an iPhone, you probably have like a phone version of GarageBand. So. It took a lot of work for me to get it to a sound that I thought was good. Obviously, I'm not a, you know, professional engineer or anything, so there's probably people with ears for that can hear all the flaws in it. But I was really pleased with the way it came out.
I would have never guessed it listening to it.
Really? Cool. That's awesome. And like,
now I'll have to go back and I'll judge it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, yeah, definitely hear it there. So I tracked it all.
JK.
All at the house and everything. And. Yeah, mixed it myself. I almost gave up several times because it was really hard to get like a guitar sound. Oh, the guitars, by the way, were a free guitar sim. That's how much money I don't have. It was literally like I didn't have a way to record my, you know, which I obviously have a nice amp and cabinet and everything, but I didn't have a good way to record it at my house. And I don't know anything about setting that stuff up anyway. So I just went through and YouTube and was looking for good, you know, good amps that kind of model after the tube amp that I have, or that, you know, that genre of amp or whatever, and finally found one. I was like, I like this pretty good. And I put it in the mix. I was like, dude, this sounds pretty good. So it's literally a free guitar amp. I wish I knew the name of it. I'd recommend it right now to anybody who wants that kind of thing, but I can't remember what it's called, but it was free.
Dude, one of the things that was notable to me was the guitars. I made a note of that.
Really?
The guitar, yes.
Because, yeah, me and Caleb were listening, and he was like, dude, these guitars sound really good. I'm like, man, no joke, I downloaded this thing for free.
Well, these songs are really heavy.
Yeah, but not really a soft one on here.
We forgot the ballad. No.
Yeah.
Truthfully, I don't need a ballad myself.
Yeah. I mean, basically this whole time I've tried to never think of it as like I'm obligated to put any certain thing. And normally, you know, and I've got songs still that I'm working on for subsequent releases and whatever that are probably softer and whatever. And there's obviously we've got some that are like super soft, but like, yeah, it just didn't happen for this one. I just didn't have any that evolved or whatever in that direction, but I'm cool with it.
I'm good with it too, because what you did come up with is quite good. I want to go song by song because I want to hear the stories. So can we start with Crush the Head?
Yep, Crush the Head, probably the most basic one explanation wise. Like I said, it's about the same thing as the album title or whatever, as far as just Christ's victory over Satan. Like, I think I opened the song by just, you know, screaming Crush the Head. But the first lines are Christ is King, which I just wanted that to be the first thing that was said, you know, just kind of. And the song is kind of written like addressing Satan, which is maybe weird. I don't know. I don't know if that's a weird idea to me. But anyway, I did it. and the chorus is, yeah, it's just like you strike the heel. You want to wear that crown so bad. You never will. You strike the heel. He crushes the head, which is like. To me, I thought that was such a metal ending for that chorus. It's just like because I've done it in a few other songs, and this is probably no one but me cares about this kind of stuff as far as the little details about lyrics. But I think it's like powerful when there's like an implied but it's better when you don't say it, because for me saying like you strike the heel, but he crushes the head, like it doesn't hit as hard as like you strike the heel, he crushes the head. I don't know how to explain it, but to me the delivery of that is like that feels more. Absolute powerful. Or something. It's almost like you're disregarding the insignificance of that first thing. Like it's just overshadowed by the victory, you know. Or that was the intention behind it. And we had a couple features on this EP. One is Havoc, which is my friend. He's actually been involved with this band in various ways in the past. Kyle Robinson.
That was Never Forsaken. Yeah.
Yep. And Zachariah Turnage of Blue Fire Horizon. And this one almost... Crush the Head almost had a guest feature from, I won't name the person, but it was like is one of my favorite metal bands, you know, that I've ever listened to. I really love their stuff and they've kind of influenced a lot of my riffs and stuff like that. And I reached out to him and he was like, send me a song, and I sent it to him. And I don't know if he just was busy or he's probably like super busy, honestly, because, you know, life and music and everything. But, said, send me a track. So I sent it to him and then I pretty much never heard back from him. So I don't know if he didn't really dig it or wasn't, you know, just wasn't able to respond or anything. But man, I wish if people know this band and you really listen to this song and the riff and even like the delivery of some of the vocals, I think you can see where once I had in my mind that I wanted to have him on it, I think that kind of influenced a little of the direction of the writing. So if you listen to that song, I feel like people, if they know of them, they can be like, oh yeah, that I can see the influence of that. But yeah, that's probably my favorite song on the record. It's just metal, very riffy metal, and the solo's good. I like the outro and everything.
And the next is Dead Tongue.
That one is, I think that was maybe the one that I wrote that kind of made me like, I'll just do these as an EP, because we released Break the Skin, like a different mix of that before even I had the intention of making the EP. We released a version that I actually mixed and stuff by Lee. And then I wrote Dead Tongue and I was like, you know, I could do an EP with these and kind of have it in this direction and save some of these others for volume 3. And what that song is about, I'm trying to think of a good way to explain it. One, it's not talking about a literal tongue. It means like as in a language, which I don't know how other people's brains work, but I feel like if I heard Dead Tongue like out of context, you'd be like, what the heck? Why is that? But it's just like a dead language, basically. We're kind of sold this perception that like everyone makes their decisions based on reason and what's logical and stuff like that. And so I kind of learned how to engage with people on that level. And then getting older, you realize how little reason has to do with most people's choices. You know what I'm saying? Like people kind of, a lot of people, you do what you want and then you come up with why it was quote unquote reasonable after the fact. And the song is basically talking about like kind of coming to terms with that. With like, I can't reason people into belief. I can't reason people into doing what I think, you know, is right or, you know, seeing things accurately or bettering themselves or whatever it would be. but like, well, within my own power, basically. Like, I can't rationally convince people to do a lot of stuff. It takes a lot more than that for the average person. You know, I'm not a fully rational person. No one is. No one is. It's like every decision I make is based on reason. But like, basically, the dead tongue part is trying to reason with someone who's basically made up their mind about something. So hypothetically, like an unbeliever, but not who's like willing to think it out, but who's just like dead set against it from the beginning. So like, basically, Jesus himself could appear before me, but I've decided I don't want to serve him. I don't want to believe in him or whatever. And basically coming to realize like nothing's going to be enough for that kind of a person. You know what I mean? You're never going to be.
You're wasting your time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the concept, is like I'm speaking to you in a language you don't even understand. This is the last line of the song, because otherwise it's kind of a negative song. But like, I kind of wanted to at least shift in the direction of what I think is the best thought for me in the face of that is, you know, only by the Spirit, which is kind of a nod to a verse that isn't necessarily about that, but just, you know, as far as the battle isn't by might or by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And me kind of realizing that is like, look, the validity of my argument or like my intelligence or my ability to present something isn't ultimately what is needed, you know, especially when you're talking about like the conviction of someone's spirit towards the gospel, but even just a lot of other stuff. It's like God is the one who moves people's hearts and can change things. And so I can see someone and tell them all day, hey, this is what you need to do, but they have to understand it. You know what I mean? Right. God is the only one who can do that with people, I believe. So that's what that song's kind of about.
I put in my note out to the side after listening to it, Demon Hunter vibe.
I'm cool with that.
Break the Skin.
Break the Skin. That is, like I said, we released a version of that, a different mix. I think it was earlier this year, but that song is basically about like the pornography industry and probably a lot of stuff that falls under like adult entertainment or sex work or whatever. And there's a few bands that I listen to that have kind of talked about stuff like that, but it's in this veiled way. And I understand where it comes from, because like there's a huge chunk of Christianity, or what's called Christianity, that just thrives on condemning people. And, you know, this like superficial holier than thou sort of thing. And I know good people, and myself, I'm like this. It's a temptation to try and distance myself from that by being like, everything's cool. You know what I mean? Like everything is all right. Everything's good or whatever. And I think that's dangerous with some things when you're talking about, you know, some stuff. And I don't want to condemn a person ever, you know what I mean, as far as any of that sort of stuff. But there are certain things where I'm like, dude, this is destructive. I mean, like in my own experience, as far as just like viewing or consuming pornography or whatever, and then just observing other people, women or men, or, you know, whether you are someone on the side of producing that sort of content or someone on the side of consuming that sort of content, I think it's undeniably detrimental to the human soul. And I mean, I don't say that coming from like a place of condescension or judgment, because that has been like probably the struggle for me, like as a dude in my life, you know, and that's not a good thing. But at the same time, like, I think it's dangerous because it's normal or something like that, get to this point where we're like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's not a problem. Yeah. Everybody is, you know, it's like, no, it's not good. And that's kind of what that song's about. Yeah. I mean, just kind of like analyzing that part of our culture and myself, and just the conversation around that, how we want to act as if everything is equally valid and anything you can do, that's all up to you and whatever. It's like, well, I mean, you do have the right to choose whatever you want, but let's not pretend it's a good thing or pretend it's good for people, you know?
Right.
Okay. So that's kind of what that song's about.
And now we're going to talk about the song Never Forsaken, which you just said was a collab. Tell us about that one.
That song is just about God's faithfulness to me personally, and just that I don't remember when I thought of that line specifically, like exactly what I was going through in my mind as far as situations and stuff, but just realizing like, man, you know, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And just being able to be like, man, I've never been forsaken by Christ. You know, not that I've been faithful to him or done everything that I need to do, even literally today, you know, but like for all the stupid things that I've done, or the, you know, messed up things that I've done, or bad choices I've made, or, you know, people I've disappointed or whatever. It's like God has never given up on me. I've never been forsaken. And so like, he's never left me where I was, you know?
Right.
And that's just what the song's about. I think that pretty much says that at the end. You never left me where I fell. I was never forsaken. It's kind of like the last line of the song. There's I think it's David. I don't remember if it's one of the Psalms. I think it is, but I'm not 100% sure. But he's talking about, like, basically there's nowhere I can go, you know, to be too far from God, even, you know, even in the depths of Sheol or wherever. And it basically, that's kind of where the concept of the chorus comes from. Just like, though I would lay my head in hell, I was never forsaken. And yeah, it's just a song about God and just how faithful he is in spite of, you know, us and me personally not being faithful to him, me not being worthy of that.
Now tell us about Havoc. He's just a friend of yours, lives near you, or how do y'all know each other?
He lives in, I don't really know how we know each other, to be honest. I think maybe we first met on Facebook, like through Caleb, who's, he's drumming for us right now. And he's actually played like guitar and bass and stuff in the past. But, I think we met through him, like on Facebook or something. And Kyle, he actually played guitar in the band for like a little bit. And then we've just been, we've been pretty much good friends since I think the first time we actually like met in person. And he's helped me a lot with different music stuff. I always, you know, shoot him like riff ideas and lyrics and stuff like that as I'm working on things and kind of get his feedback on and whatever. And he does the same with his project Havoc. And yeah, just was like, we've, you know, obviously we've worked together already on different stuff in the past, but like, I was like, oh, we haven't really done something where we kind of merge these two projects that we have or things that we're doing in one song. Yeah. So I kind of sent him a riff, you know, the opening riff actually for like a long time. That's all I had. And I sent it to him and was like, hey, would you want to do something, you know, with this? And you kind of put your own thing in the verses and then maybe like a bridge too, where, you know, where you do some synth stuff. We have synth stuff in some of the Dire songs, but I'm not good at making that. It's always very, very random, the process where I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. But he actually knows how to get sounds that he wants and, you know, focus it and stuff. So I was like, it'd be really cool to have him do it. And I think it turned out, I was apprehensive about it at first, not because of him, but just like how, especially with me mixing it, how I was going to be able to like merge these into one cohesive song and then not feel random and jumpy. But
yeah,
it's been a lot of people's favorite song on the EP. So that's cool, because it's kind of a different direction a little bit musically for Dire. So
let's talk about Apostate. I like that one.
I like that one too. Well, some bands that I've been into and other bands that I've not necessarily been into, but that I've just been aware of that I've kind of over time started off, you know, as a Christian band or marketing themselves as a Christian band. And then over the years, you know, meeting with like some level of success and then kind of either instantly or over time, gradually like shedding that, I don't know if you'd say label or just perception or whatever, just coming out and be like, okay, we don't believe this anymore. We don't want to be associated with this anymore. And I, you know, I can't say where they were at as far as that, because I know sometimes, you know, people just change and stuff. So I'm not necessarily saying they were never sincere in what they said or I can't, you know, I can't be the judge of that, but it just being one, it being kind of a bummer to me, obviously, to see these bands or artists that I've kind of looked up to or that people have looked up to at one point, and then them just totally shift to a place of like, in some instances where you literally are like the opposite of, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
we are now anti-Christian, and it's like, oh, okay, well, dang. And you know, there are some, I mean, not to sound like too cynical, there are some artists where it's like, that isn't necessarily like surprising to me, if that makes sense, where it's like, okay, I think some people, you come up in the right time and you're friends with the right people and you have these opportunities, and it's just like appealing to kind of use the faith aspect as like a springboard or something like that for like a little bit of, you know, attention on the front end. But then there's also people where I'm like, I think this was sincere, you know, and you've just kind of, your perspectives or whatever have evolved over time. And it's just kind of, I didn't want it to be a song where I'm just like tearing into these people or whatever, you know, it's just like, man, you suck. And you're, I don't know that there are songs about that specifically that I can remember, but I know there's like a handful of Christian bands where they write these songs that are like brutally unforgiving or something. Where it's like,
how metal is that? Brutally unforgiving.
It's just like, I hope you rot in hell and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, I can't say that because that's not true.
Right,
and
right.
I mean, I guess that sounds really metal and stuff, but I don't think that's good in a different way. So,
yeah.
It's just a thing, you know, that kind of bums me out. But the song even progresses to like, and I believe this, it's like for those people, there's still forgiveness. Jesus loves those people. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's not like you're beyond saving, you know, just I hope you die or hope you just, you know, it's like, I hope you will turn to Christ. I hope you will have your eyes opened or reopened or whatever it would be to the truth of the gospel and be saved. And that's, you know, possible. That then towards the latter end of that song, that's what the bridge kind of says. It's just like, basically, there's still grace. Reaching out for the hand just to spit in the face, the deserter, the Judas, the viper. The last line goes like a breakdown sort of thing. It's like, I still believe there is grace, basically. I didn't want it just to be a song where I'm just griping about people or just saying, you know what I mean? Like, oh, you guys suck for not believing the truth anymore or whatever. But I wanted it to be something that's kind of like a call to these people to, you know, to turn to Christ and to believe. Well, and I believe that too. You know what I mean? It's very obviously, if you look at Jesus and the way he interacted with people, I believe that's Jesus's heart. So I don't feel like I'm saying anything risky by saying that. You know, look at some of the people that were saved in the Bible and it being like, yeah, Jesus loves everybody, man. You know,
you just want the best for people.
Yep.
How did you get in touch with Zachariah Turnage of Blue Fire Horizon, and how did that come about?
We are friends on Facebook because I think we're both in some like Christian metal group page or something. And like everyone was posting like memes about Blue Fire Horizon for like a little while in this group that we were in. And I'm like, who are these guys? And so I went and checked them out and they released something. I can't remember if it was this year or last year, but I kind of jammed that for a little while. And I think I added him as a friend. And yeah, I was like, huh, it'd be kind of cool to have this dude on this song. And he has totally, we have totally different vocals. And so I thought that would kind of be good, you know, and add something. And I think it did. I think it came out like super good for that part, especially. Yeah. And I just shot him a message. I was like, hey dude, would you be interested in being, you know, in this potentially? I think I sent him the lyrics, and, you know, then when I had everything kind of tracked or whatever, I did my vocals for where his would be or whatever and sent it to him, and then got him to track him. He sent it back to me, and yep, that was it. He was down to do it.
So that was a whole EP, and it's quite amazing, especially after hearing the backstory on it.
Yeah.
No, it's really solid. The songs are solid. I've only seen or heard positive reviews on this EP.
Thank you. That's super encouraging to hear. Because, you know, sometimes you can be blind to your own things. Like when you're a kid and you draw some art that you just think is great, and it's really not great, but the people that love you are going to be like, oh, this is good. So, you know, like, up until I released this, we released this EP, it was all people that I trust them, but I also, they're kind of biased towards me. So I'm like, oh man, I hope I'm not releasing something that like in a couple months, I'm going to be like, oh my goodness, this sounds so terrible. And no wonder everyone's making fun of it, you know? But yeah, so far the response has been like super good, and I'm excited. Yeah. And also just, I can't believe that it was free, like that I mixed it. I mean, it wasn't free in that like I spent a lot of time on it, but
hey, time you got, man.
Yeah.
You have this on all of the streaming platforms. Are you thinking about shooting out a few hard copies?
Yep, definitely. We're hopefully going to be booking some more like actual live shows here and there in 2024. And I would love to have, you know, copies to sell there. And also just for all the, you know, several people, I think on that thing that we posted, were like, yeah, pretty much that's actually what I prefer to listen to, you know, physical copies. Plus, I'm like that myself, too. If it's like, you know, if I can, I'd like to have a physical copy because I like to read the lyrics and I like to hold the book, you know, I guess just because I grew up when that was a thing. And so that's part of the experience for me. But yeah, definitely intending to do that, hopefully as soon as possible. Might even do like some pre-orders or something, see if we can get enough people to pre-order to kind of at least half fund it or something.
You got any shirts?
For the EP?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, I'm making myself sound so poor, but I've got like...
You're not the only poor person, Rick.
You know what?
I don't know a single band that's sitting on a pile of cash right
now. That's probably true, especially in metal, yeah.
It don't feel bad. Just tell us about it.
Basically, yeah, I'm about to try my hand at printing my own shirts. Never done anything like this.
That's a great idea. Social media, where can we find you?
Well, we're active on Instagram and Facebook. It's Instagram is just Dyer_band, and then Facebook is just Dyer. I downloaded the app to start a TikTok because I've had like 8 million people tell me I need to start a TikTok for my band. I don't use TikTok or haven't previously. So I've just never really been compelled to do it. But I've had so many people mention, I'm like, well, maybe I will. And, you know, I'm sure TikTok's probably like on its last leg and about to be the old thing, like probably the day that I actually start the account. But
I feel like that happens to me. I guess that's an old person thing, is by the time you jump on board, all the kids have jumped onto something else.
Well, I that's not my thing. Like, I don't really care about TikTok. And so I haven't downloaded it for me. And then because I am not really exposed to it a lot, I don't really think to do it myself. And then it's like, well, I guess I'll do this. But then it's like, oh yeah, we're not doing that anymore. That's TikTok's over, man. What are you old?
There's your old, and then there's my level old. It's something else completely. Hope to see you soon somewhere out there on the road. But let me know if you've got a show coming up.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
You take care of yourself, and I hope big success on this EP.
Thank you very much.
All right, you have a good night.
You too. Good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music, and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.